in about the year 2000, my wife at the time and I, we went and decided it was our time to buy our first house. And I was a first-time minister on the hilltop, and I wanted to move into the community that I was working in. And so we put an offer on a house. And we showed up at that house with the inspector. You know, when you buy a house, you do this, right? You have to have the inspection. So we show up at the inspection, and we're with the inspector outside, and we're looking at the outside of the house. And all of a sudden, from the house next door, this man comes out onto the front porch. And pretty soon, all of a sudden, he goes, "You gonna buy that house?" And I said, "Yeah, we're having the inspection right now, but we put an offer. We're hoping to buy the house." "Yeah, bunch of goddamn drug dealers and gangsters used to live in that house." And I said, "Well, we're not gangsters or drug dealers. Hey, guess you're gonna have better neighbors out of the deal." Then pretty soon he starts looking at what the inspector's doing, and all of a sudden he yells at the inspector, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't see shit from where you're standing. If you're going to figure out what's going on in the house, you can't tell what's going on the roof. You got to get on the freaking roof." So this goes on for the entire inspection, of the outdoor house. And finally, we go in the front of the house, do the indoor inspection, thank God. And the inspector just turns to me and goes, "Are you sure you want to buy this house?" That was my first introduction to Mr. Cook. I'd been living probably in our new house maybe a few weeks, and it was time to mow the lawn. So I'm out in the front yard mowing my lawn for the first time thinking, this is great. You know, I am mowing my lawn, first house that I own. Like, this is good, like, manly, grown-up kinds of things to do, mowing your lawn. And so I'm mowing my lawn, and all of a sudden, you know, I stop the mower to empty the bag, and I look out, and Mr. Cook is walking by with an enormous dog, maybe the largest dog I've ever seen. It is a huge Rottweiler something mix, and he is leading it with a chain. By a chain, I don't mean like a leash that kind of looks like a chain. No, I actually mean a chain with links like that big, just wrapped around the dog's neck with like a loop through it. And I don't mean to be crass, but this dog has the largest testicles you have ever seen in your life. I mean, these things are nearly dragging on the ground and just going back and forth and back and forth. And so I'm just looking at this. Welcome to my neighborhood, right? And Mr. Cook says, "What do you think of my dog?" I said, "Wow, he's a beaut. He's a beauty."
"His name's Guar."
"Guar. That makes a lot of sense, actually."
"You ever seen balls as big as those in your whole life?"
"No, you're right. Those are big." And I realized that he's not really walking him. He's just walking him like just back and forth, like three houses, just back and forth. And he's not even really walking the dog. Mr. Cook's about 80 years old. The dog's more like, yeah, walking him like that. And he says,
"What? I just like to bring Guar out every now and again, just so people know that not to fuck with us in this neighborhood. That Guar and me, you know, we're watching out for things, so they're not gonna, you know, fuck with us in this neighborhood." And I said,
"Well, Mr. Cook, I feel safe just knowing that you and Guar are on the prowl." Few months went by, and we had a chain link fence in front of our house that was just really, really ugly. And so I decided one day that my project was going to be to take out this chain link fence. So I cut the fencing off, but I still had to contend with the post holes. And they were, you know, metal post holes, and they had been dug really deep down into the ground, and then cement had been poured, and so you had to really dig these suckers out and pull them out. It was a pretty hefty job. And so I'm out there, it's hot one day, you know, I'm just sweating like crazy, and I've pretty much got all these dug out, and I'm struggling with the first fence post to get it out. And I'm, you know, just really having to struggle to get it out. And of course, pretty soon, Mr. Cook walks out. And at this point, he walks out without a shirt on. which wasn't the first time I'd seen him without a shirt on. That was a pretty regular occurrence. So he walked out. And he goes,
"What the hell are you doing there?"
I said, "Well, I'm trying to pull these fence posts out, Mr. Cook." And he's like,
"Girl, you look like kind of a pussy. You're really struggling with that one."
I said, "Well, yeah, they're pretty heavy. They're pretty heavy, Mr. Cook." And he's like,
"Well, I think you need to start working out a little bit more. Don't you see I got my weight bench out in the back? I do 100 curls every day, 100 bench press. You're a little flabby, a little fat. That's your problem." And he says, and then pretty soon he comes over, he says, "Go ahead, feel it.
I'm like, it's okay, I can see.
"No, feel it. I mean, seriously, feel it. Feel my muscle."
Yeah, that's impressive. You're in good shape, Mr. Cook, for 81 years old. And then he proceeds to say, well, God damn it, I don't want you to die out here. Let me help you." So you're doing manual labor, and it's hard enough, And, like, the one good thing about projects like that is, like, it's hard or whatever, but at least you get some time by yourself, and, you get to just kind of think and be by yourself and, let your mind go as you're working hard, and it's good for the body. And let's be honest, I don't want to spend the next hour with Mr. Cook, right? And so he just insists. And so pretty soon we're trying to pull the second one out, right? And we're really struggling. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this old man is going to die right here in my front yard trying to pull this thing out of the ground, right? And, so we're struggling. And pretty soon we can't get out. He just shoves me out of the way because he's just like,
You're not doing it right. You're pulling crooked,
and tries to and proceeds to just and he can't get it out. Of course, he can't get it out. But of course, I'm trying to help him save face. I'm saying, "Oh, obviously, Mr. Cook, I need to dig that one out a little bit more, right?" And so finally, he goes in. I'm able to pull the rest out, and that was the day that Mr. Cook almost died in my front yard. And when I felt his muscles. It'd been several months now, probably, since I had lived in that house. And I was walking out in the backyard one day. And Mr. Cook was in his backyard bench pressing with his shirt off. He popped out. I think I was taking some recycling out to the recycling. And he popped up off the bench and he said,
"Hey, I just want you to know, I'm not going to be taking your recycling and garbage out anymore."
And I said, "Okay, so..." See, what he'd been doing is that for the first few months that we had lived there, every week he would take the recycling and garbage from our yard out to the back on garbage day. Now, I knew he'd been doing this, or someone had been doing this, because it always just ended up there. And my response to that was not gratefulness, it was annoyance, right? Because he'd never, said anything about it. He'd never said, "Hey, I'm going to do this for you." I mean, for me, it was like, this guy's coming into my yard every week, and, moving something out without talking to me, right? So now this is the moment where he's basically saying, "You ungrateful SOB, I'm not doing it anymore because you've not acknowledged what I'm doing," right? That's what's happening in this moment. It was the first crack in realizing that I had really shut down and that I was really shutting Mr. Cook out. Now, can you blame me? I have to ask that question. Can you blame me? Racial slurs constantly, N-word, the Mexicans, the gangsters. And not only that, he was always sweating and walking the dog with the huge balls and not having his shirt on. And he had a growth on his lip. Everything about Mr. Cook was like, ugh. On one side of us was Mr. Cook, and the neighbor on the other side of this house was a woman by the name of Mrs. Fletcher. And Mrs. Fletcher was a regal African-American woman, devout in her faith, and she was kind of the matriarch of the neighborhood. And she was so beautiful and kind, and she would always, as I was in my backyard, she was the absolute opposite of Mr. Cook, just would chat me up and, "How are you doing?" And "You guys are so lovely, and it's so nice to have you here, and I'm so glad you're doing ministry work here in the neighborhood and you're helping so many people and doing so many important things, and just thank you so much." I mean, she was just this beautiful, warm, inviting woman, and, you know, I'm praying for you, honey. And so I went over to Mrs. Cook's one day along the fence line, and we chatted. And I had seen that Mr. Cook continued to take out her trash and recycling every week. And so I said, you know, Mr. Cook, like, I don't want to gossip or whatever, but what is the deal with him, you know? And I said, you know, he used to take out my recycling and my garbage, and I was sort of offended by it because he didn't really ask, and so I never really said anything. And then he said, well, I'm not doing it anymore, and now I feel bad because I never really acknowledged it. And it's just this weird situation. I said, and he's so mean-spirited and racist, and the way he talks about everybody else in the neighborhood, and the dog with the... Of course, I didn't talk about the dog's testicles in front of Mrs. Fletcher, because she's not the kind of woman you do that in front of, but... Mrs. Fletcher just, she looked at me and she said, I know, honey, I know. She said, but a few years ago, Mr. Fletcher died. And you know how it is when somebody dies, you know, for a while, everybody comes around. You know, and my church family was good to me, and all these people were good to me, and they reached out to me, and they were around. But then after a while, everybody kind of forgets. And it's just me in this old house by myself for the first time, and 50 years. And you know, the one person who continued to come see me almost every day was Mr. Cook. She said, you know, God makes them all kinds of ways. God makes them all kinds of ways. And I don't understand him, and I know he's offensive. But you know what? What I know is that when Mr. Fletcher died, Mr. Cook is the one who came and saw me every day. And she said, and Mr. Cook is the one who for 20 years has been taking out my garbage and my recycling.